Radio Riva, Brighton Festivals Now. All of the news, reviews, and what not to miss at Brighton Festival with Melissa Dennett and Rebecca Sandals. On Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival hour.
You listen to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM on DAB and online at radioreverb.com. I'm Melissa Dennett. This is Monday's Brighton Festival special. We are here Monday to Friday during the festival, 5 to 6pm, repeated 10pm the same night and 9am the next day.
And I'm Rebecca Sandals. And for the next 3 weeks, we'll be looking behind the scenes at the Brighton Festival, meeting some of the performers, creators and people who make it happen.
And today we're looking back at Saturday's Children's Parade.
We'll be hearing about an unusual way to tell the story of two refugee boys.
Finding out about a concert where the audience joined the performers on stage.
We'll be learning what's in store for younger festival goers.
Visiting a photography exhibition of Marley and Ironworkers.
And we'll be hearing from this year's guest artistic director, Rokia Traore.
That's all in the next hour here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. Rebecca, it hardly seems like a year since we were last here.
I know, regular Radio Reverb people must think they've sort of just fallen asleep and woken up a year later. We're back. We're back with the festival show. And once again, it's sort of, I open the programme, I'm like, what's in here?
I know.
Ploughing through, sort of looking and working out the gems. And the more I look at it, the more I'm like, oh, actually, that looks good.
Well, that is one of the things that we're aiming to do here, because we're going to lead you gently but firmly by the hand behind the scenes.
Are you talking to me or the listener?
No, the listener, everybody? Not you. Okay. I'm not going to touch you.
Just checking.
Crikey. This is a chance. Now we're going to go behind the scenes to find some of the people who are involved in the festival. So the organisers, the artists, the creators, the producers, and we're going to give you the inside track on what's happening in the festival. Because like you, I look at that programme and I think, well, that might be interesting, but I really don't know what's happening. So we are going to be finding out what is really going on behind the scenes at the festival this year.
Well, and also sometimes I've looked at the programme this year in particular. There's lots of unknown artists and things that are new to me, and some of the performances themselves are quite complex in the way they're staged or done, so it's actually not really understanding what this is that's happening.
Well, that's what we're here for today. And as ever, the Children's Parade, of course, kicked off the festival this year with thousands of children from local schools taken to the streets along with the usual drummers and samba bands. This year's theme is folk tales from around the world, and it was inspired by guest artistic director Malian performer Rokia Traore. And as ever, I was there. Here we are at the start of the annual Brighton Festival, and as usual, the Children's Parade kicks it off in great style. The sun's shining on the parade today. Couldn't have wished for a better day for it. So this year, the theme is folk tales from around the world. I've seen some papier-mâché birds going past. There's a globe passing me as I speak now. There's a moon and stars and some rather fantastical animal heads coming, and a giant monkey. Brilliant day to open up the Brighton Festival. And thousands of people out here on the streets of Brighton celebrating the Children's Parade and the start of the 2019 Brighton Festival. And I've just bumped into Pippa Smith, who is one of the people who makes this happen every year. Pippa, what a fantastic day.
What an amazing parade. Isn't it a great theme? I wasn't sure about folk tales from around the world, but we might have known that the schools would run with it. I've got to go back and look up all the stories now, because I've lost track of the, seeing animals and birds and characters from all over the world, which is what we intended. I think it's really worked. I love this year's theme.
I love the tiger that just went past. That was amazing. I mean, the amount of work that goes into this, the amount of work that the children and the teachers do.
Yeah, I've just had the honour of giving that tiger a golden ticket, which means it's been invited to spend the whole of Brighton Festival in the Dome foyer, being admired by all our audiences.
Pippa, have a brilliant day. Congratulations on another tremendously successful Children's Parade.
They made it, not me. Thank you.
I'm here with Andrew Conven from the Brighton Festival, overlooking the scene as the Children's Parade passes along New Road. What a spectacle.
It's brilliant, isn't it? I mean, every year, but every year better and better as well. The fact that every school in the city has come together, and that doesn't mean just every school, it's the kids, it's the parents, the carers, the head teachers, all of the teachers, and the wonderful Same Sky pulling this together. It's more and more impressive. And to see all of these different stories portrayed in such a imaginative ways. There was a monkey that walked past just a minute ago.
I saw that. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was great. So, no, it's a real thrill, and the festival's here, and we're kicking off.
And Rocky's input into the children's parade today, of course, is really important.
It's great, isn't it, that at the heart of this festival is that whole notion of storytelling and storytelling from different cultures, and that the children's parade have taken that on and then really found stories to tell from all parts of the world, I think is a really great symbol.
Yep, the opening of the Brighton Festival, the Children's Parade once again. Andrew Comben from the Brighton Festival talking there, and we heard earlier then from Pippa Smith. We'll be hearing more from Pippa Smith later on in the programme. She's going to be talking about some of the children's events to look forward to in the 2019 Brighton Festival.
Now, as alluded to there when Melita was talking to Andrew, we have guest directors at Brighton Festival, and each year a different guest director is invited to make their mark on the festival. Previous years, guest directors have included the musician Brian Eno, artist Anish Kapoor and spoken word performer Kate Tempest.
Well, 2019's guest director is Malian musician Rokia Traore. She's bringing themes of migration, home and storytelling to the festival. I met up with Rokia at the festival launch.
My name is Rokia Traore and I am a musician from Mali, West Africa.
Many themes running through the festival that you have brought, so themes of storytelling, migration, an idea of home. Tell me a little bit more about those themes.
I think these themes are what our life of every day is made of. And are we far from ourselves now so much that we have all these problems about things which are indeed not problems at all? It's about what made our present life and our present histories in all the countries. Everyone came from somewhere, and everyone used to be a foreigner somewhere. So it's so much surprising to see all the panic around migration. There's more panic about people moving from a place to another one than about why they are leaving. So we are asking the wrong questions. We are trying to find the wrong solutions. That doesn't mean I have or someone on earth has the right solution, but at least we must maybe start asking the right questions and try to find the right solutions altogether and think of them and stop fearing about what indeed is the reason everyone left the African continent to go somewhere else. When conditions are difficult somewhere, it's really naturally human to earn for better. And what's the problem? So all these themes this year are about that. And there is a common link, which is our ability to understand diversity and what is from somewhere else.
I'm Andrew Compen, and I'm Chief Executive of Brighton Dome and Brighton Festival.
So this year, Rokia Traore, a Malian artist and musician, is the guest artistic director. What was the big idea behind inviting her here?
Well, every year we try and reinvent the festival, and Rokia is an artist that I've loved watching and really followed for many years. And she's someone who has collaborated with all sorts of other artists, Toni Morrison, Peter Sellers, and so on. And so I was always really interested in her curiosity and the way that she's prepared to embrace other art forms, explore other things. She is a fantastic performer in her own right, but that kind of eclecticism always makes me sit up and take notice. And then to understand that she is as politically engaged as she is, and then also as interested as she is in supporting other musicians and other artists. She's an ideal guest director in that way, because she's a fantastic artist in her own right, but has that breadth of experience and depth of understanding that she can bring to a whole festival.
Brighton Festival's Andrew Comben and guest artistic director Rokia Traore talking to me at the launch of the 2019 festival. And we went to see Rokia's opening gig on Saturday. What a great opener to the festival.
It was really nice. You know, I didn't know quite what to expect because I have very limited experience of Malian music. I think Yiki Yake Maury Kante from back in the day.
Showing, well, back in the
showing
day, that is.
My ignorance and my age there a bit. But I was really pleasantly surprised at the size of the audience. I mean, it was a really good crowd in there and a great ambience. And the music, it was a really relaxing, gentle Saturday night entertainment in the Dome. It was really lovely, I thought.
There was a real buzz to it, a great vibe. I thought a terrific festival opener. Well, we've kind of set the scene there. So we set the scene with the Children's Parade, starting off on Saturday. We've heard from Rocia Traore herself. I think it's time now for us to get our teeth into the programme.
Oh, well, now, I think we started on a good one here. Let's say, well, one of the shows that you can catch right through to May the 22nd is Flight. Now, it's based on the novel Hinterland by Caroline Brothers and tells the story of child migrants. But it isn't a show that features actors, and you don't sit in an auditorium sharing the experience with your fellow ticket holders. So I went along to the venue this weekend, and as the company was setting up, it's Vox Motus, and I went to find out more. One of the great things about festival is getting out and about at different venues. So I've come along to the King Alfred Centre, actually the ballroom, and I'm delighted to be with Jamie Harrison, who's the creative director of Flight. Jamie.
Hi, nice to meet you, Rebecca.
How do you feel about being in a ballroom for Flight?
It's been really exciting, actually, because our piece is an installation and it needs quite a lot of space. And so we've been in for the last week completely transforming
the space. Let's go and have a look.
Should we go in?
Yeah, great.
I'll open the door now. Unfortunately for you, you're not seeing it quite as the audience will see it at the moment because all the lights are on. But
helps me see where I'm going.
Yeah, it helps you see where you're going. People are brought in one by one. And they come into this little area here and sitting
away. Okay, so lots of dark black.
Yeah, basically you can see the ballroom at the moment if you look up at the ceiling and you can see the chandeliers. But when we go into show state, it's a very intimate experience. People are brought in one by one and they come round the corner here.
Okay, and there's like lots of individual seats. It looks like a sort of the place where translators might sit at the UN or something.
It does, actually, yeah.
Little booths.
Yeah, and so one by one, the audience come in and they sit in their own individual booth. They sit down and put a headset on. And in the carousel, there are 250 diorama. Diorama being tiny little models that have been handmade by our team that tell the story of two Afghan brothers traveling from Afghanistan to London. And so what the audience see are individual boxes lighting up in front of them with beautifully handcrafted models inside them that tell the story. People have described it like a three-dimensional graphic novel.
You've taken the show to various places around the world.
We've been all over the world.
People seem to get lost very quickly in the story, with the headphones on, the sound.
Okay, so this is something that we're really proud of because the process of making this piece is it's been quite long. Originally, we were going to make a theatre piece, but what happened was that there were quite a lot of theatre pieces at the time being made on a similar issue. And lots of them were very focused on the facts and the figures and the political connotations. And what we wanted to do was to really zone in on the journey of the two boys. So when we had the idea to tell the story in models, suddenly we and the rest of the team got really excited about this as a concept, as a new form. We pride ourselves on being an original and innovative company.
We being Vox Motus.
Vox Motus, yes. Sorry, I should say that. Vox Motus. I run it with my co-director, Candice Edmonds. The thing that was very interesting was people buy tickets to see the form. They want to come and see, what have we done? How do they tell a story with these models? You know, what's it like to sit in this booth? It sounds really interesting. But the thing that is the most important about it is they sit down because they want to see an exciting show, and very quickly they're drawn into the story of these two little boys who are traveling alone across the world. And so people come in wanting to see the show and they leave having had an experience of two Afghan migrants. And we're really proud that we're drawing an audience of people who might not necessarily want to go and see a show about what is quite a serious and harrowing topic. It has some very difficult moments. It's a powerful piece. It's a beautiful piece. But people are very moved, so much so that actually on the other side of this wall is what we call the departure lounge, with a box of tissues so that people can sit and pull themselves back together at the end, because a lot of people do find it beautifully moving. I hope that it's a hopeful piece. We don't want people to leave feeling depressed about the state of the world, because these boys who are traveling across the planet are actually very empowered, resourceful and hopeful individuals. It takes a lot of resilience to do this.
You're not quite finished setting up, but can I have a peek?
Yeah, of course you can.
Don't pick one that doesn't give it away.
So
okay.
If we go into the booth here.
Right, we're just inside a booth. You're sitting down and there's model...
Yeah, the little sort of model people, sort of perfectly realised.
I can see someone sort of waving and someone with a Coke
can. You can see somebody waving, somebody drinking.
It's what looks like a seagull
Coke.
At a table with people at the top.
Yes, there is. You have to see the show to understand why people start becoming seagulls. And then there you can see two ravens attacking each other.
And I would be sitting here with my headphones on and would take me through these
images.
Exactly,
you would sit here, you put your headphones on. Now what we're looking at the moment, you can see all the boxes. In the experience of the show, the boxes light up one by one,
right.
So that the narrative is clear. It's almost like reading a comic book in some ways.
Just on scale, the little figures vary between about 2-3 centimetres up to maybe 10 centimetres size. It's
so
figures.
Some of them, the smallest ones in the show are 11 millimetres high, so they were an absolute nightmare to paint, I'll be honest. And then the largest are maybe, there's a few that are actually 15 centimetres. So we play with scale a lot, we play with perspective. We're seeing the world through the eyes of these boys, so we wanted to go into that real sort of graphic aesthetic because one of the boys is really into graphic novels and we find that out at the beginning.
Jamie Harrison talking to me there at the King Alfred Leisure Centre in Hove. And flight is on at the ballroom at the King Alfred right up until Thursday the 22nd. There are timed entry slots available on most days. And Melita and I, we got a little ticket along and we went and had a flight on Saturday. How did you find it?
Absolutely remarkable. Oh, it's interesting because when I came out, I remarked to you that I thought it was like a graphic novel with tiny models and audio. And I hadn't actually heard Jamie's interview then, so he did describe it as being like a graphic novel. That's entirely the impression that I got from it. It's a gripping way of storytelling. And the models themselves, I mean, they're exquisite. The amount of work that's gone into it and the story, I mean, it's a harrowing story.
Yeah, the show is for over 18s. And I keep saying show because I can't think of another way of describing it rather than experience, which makes me think of the I-360.
But I think that really described what we heard there from Jamie, how it actually works, because I think it's important to know how this works because you come along at a timed point and you're taken in one by one. And it's on a giant revolving kind of drum where the pictures just light up in front of you, as you say, inside these tiny little booths. So it's a very, very intimate experience. What I also liked as well was the chairs vibrated. I don't know if you noticed that.
I did, and I was there thinking, is it me? Is it because of my head? Or is the floor moving slightly? So it's not simply the visual and the audio. And obviously, you know, being a radio person, I love that audio experience you get. And the sound effects for, I mean, without giving away the plot at all, that there is a sea journey at one point and the underwater sounds and it's amazing.
Brilliant.
Soundscape. Yeah, yeah. But then I was thinking, my chair's like moving.
No,
what
it wasn't
happening?
The earth was moving for me as well. But one of the things I thought about it afterwards, actually, because it's one of those things where you come away and it's not like, yeah, that was good. You come away and it's really thought-provoking. And I felt like being in one of those booths was a bit like being in a peep show. Not that I've been to a peep show, but I've seen a Madonna video, you know. And it was as if we were a passive spectator on the plight of these two boys fleeing from Afghanistan. And we were just sitting there, mute, watching what was happening to them and not able to take part in what was happening. I was wondering if there was a kind of a further comment on the West being very passive, inactive observers of other people's plight. I mean, I might be reading too much into it, but that was the kind of feeling that I got from it, that we were like looking into someone else's life.
Well, I think that's a fair response to it. And I also think what is so great about this piece is it's so multi-layered that people will go along and they will have their own interaction with it and their own sense of what the story is meaning to them by the way the sound or the small figures or the lighting and just the very unique experience you have there with your vibrating seats.
Yeah, I think you said it was 18 plus. It's actually 14 plus.
14, sorry.
But I think parental advisory, you know, do take note of that one because it's not a fun story for kids, let's put it that way.
No, definitely one to be aware of.
But, so,
but it is, straight in as a recommendation from me to go and see.
And absolutely, I would say if you're thinking about going to see Flight, I think it's going to be one of those ones where when people go to it, they're going to tell everyone they know they must go. So I think if you're thinking about it, don't delay. Get your ticket, because I think now it's actually opened and people have seen it, those tickets are going to get snapped up. So all taking place at the King Alfred Leisure Centre in Hove. Runs through to Thursday, 22nd of May.
And you're listening to Festival Radio with myself, Rebecca Sandals, and Melita Dennett here on Radio Reverb.
Now, Holly Cook played as part of the 30 Years of Mr. Bongo event at the Dome on Sunday. This track, It's So Different Here.
Radio Reverb.
Radio Reverb.
And that was Holly Cook, who played as part of the 30 Years of Mr. Bongo event taking place at the Dome on Sunday.
And you're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM on DAB and online at radioreverb.com.
And one of the main strands each year is the children's event in the festival. Well, obviously, it includes the children's parade, which we've already heard from. And I met with children's programmer Pippa Smith. We bumped into her at the children's parade in very, very excitable mood. But I spoke to her in a rather more calm phase to find out what's in store this year and how guest artistic director Rokia Traore has made her mark on this year's children's programming.
Well, we started with the children's parade, and I rather tentatively suggested, because I'd heard that, you know, there was such a big griot, which just means storyteller tradition in Mali. I mean, there is in West Africa, but it all started in Mali, so it's particularly Malian thing. And then I heard this wonderful thing that in Mali, when you've told a story, you've finished it, you put it back. So when we say, you know, they lived happily ever after, they say, we'll put the story back. And that's for the next person to sort of take off the metaphorical shelf, which I just think is magic.
Sweet.
Anyway, so from that sort of thinking came the idea for the children's parade, which is folk tales from around the world. The West African folk tales will lead the parade with Rocky. As always, you know, it's compulsory for a guest director, whether they like it or not, to stomp along in the front of the parade.
I'm sure they all love it.
They all love it when they get there. They're always apprehensive. And what am I supposed to be doing here? And when they get there, of course, they're as happy as Larry. Oh, I suppose my big event is it's called Another Star to Steer By. And there again, storytelling theme, the idea that stars are sort of where you hang your stories up. And so every time a new story is told, another star hits the sky. And that's going to be on at the Brighthelm Centre at the end of the festival for children 6+ and their families. But it's a commission. There it's never been before. So that's very exciting. And it's a commission from a new writer who's only just moved to Brighton, called Andrew McColden. And he's actually got 4 children's BAFTAs, so he's got to be able to write a play, hasn't he?
Well, you would think, wouldn't you? Yes.
You would. Yeah, he does a lot of work for the BBC, and he writes for children's proms and things. So, yeah, I've got every faith, and I've now seen the script, and it looks really exciting. And the other thing about that play, Another Star to Steer By, if people look in their brochure towards the end where it's billed at the Brighthelm, you can also book it for your school. So it's a flexible show. It'll go in a van. The paper boat folds up and it sails into your school, basically. So people can book it and turn themselves into festival promoters. And we'll go and see them and make sure, you know, it will fit into the school hall and through the doors and all the things we do. And so they can have their own production. So, and there are some still available by emailing paperboat@brightonfestival.org.
There you go. So get stuck in. Get stuck in.
Yeah, absolutely. Get booking.
I was looking at the moon in Queen's Park.
I know, the moon's fab, isn't it?
How is this going to work? It looks mysterious. It's one of those things you look at it and you think, that looks great, but I don't get it.
I know, I don't get it either, okay, actually. Right. I've not seen it. And, you know, everybody who has seen it is a little bit awestruck. You know, so our chief executive, Andrew Comben, has seen it, but I've never heard any actual description, you know. It is quite mind-blowing, I think. But what I do know is that you can go round to the back, so you can actually go round to the dark side of the moon, which is sort of fabulous, isn't it? And on one occasion, if you happen to turn up on the right night, the children's choir, the Brighton Festival Children's Choir, are going to be there and singing moon-related songs. So, that's a little bit extra that you'll get with the moon. Of course, it's one of our 3 events, like Without Walls. And, you know, there are quite a number of free events this year, which I think are a lot of them are very, very suitable for families. And because they're free, you can just drop in. Do you remember the Balancing Stones last year?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, but I mean, the number of people who went there with their kids and just watched for a bit, you know. And I think that's what's nice about free events, is that you can dip in and out of them. Whereas if you paid a tenner, although you'll get value for money, you do feel you've got to see all
the
way through.
The end. Yes,
so our Shakespeare this year is Midsummer Night's Dream, which is already proving very popular, actually.
I mean, that's an outdoor one again?
Outdoor, Midsummer Night's
Dream. It's always very brave doing outdoor events
in May. But it is the end. That's why we do the last weekend. Yeah. And we've moved. We're not at Boat this year. We're back at Dyke Road. So very, very accessible for people because it's very near the clock tower. It's the rest garden opposite St Nicholas Church. So it's called St Nick's Rest Garden. And we're in there. The Residents Association are going to do some sort of food offer. And I think, I mean, Midsummer Night's Dream, it's got to work, really, hasn't it? It's the same company, the people who do All Male. Are All Male.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, so because we like them, and they seem to work, you know, and it's the start of their national tour, and they come to Brighton first, so exciting.
And with the children's events as well, you're looking at provision for children of all ages. So you go from very, very, very teensy through to teenagers.
I've got a nice little craft workshop for very small children, which is sort of puppets and stories. You know, this story theme does run all the way through, actually. That's rather nice, and that's for 3 to 5s in the Founders Room at the Dome. And there's Groove Under the Sea, and what's the other one? There's two jazz programs for children. Which are absolutely amazing. And they're Under the Sea and Into Space, and the company is called Groove Baby. Basically, they're not, the jazz is not dumbed down, but everybody has a really good time, I'm told, 3 to 7 year olds. So that will be fun, and that's in the Bright Elm Centre on the 19th of May. So if you go at 10 o'clock, you get Under the Sea, and if you go at noon, you get Into Space. And it's not too expensive, you know, it's a nice show.
Children's programmer Pippa Smith talking about some of the events for children and young people in the 2019 Brighton Festival.
Blue moon, you saw me standing alone.
Oh, stop it.
Moon songs. I'm practicing my moon songs for Queen's Park. Anyway, still to come. I'm going to do more if you want. Moon.
No. Desist.
Still to come on the Radio Reverb Festival show with her, Melita Dennett, and me, Rebecca Sandals. We'll be finding out about an exhibition at the Phoenix Gallery, and Radio Reverb's Mark Johnson from Slipstream will be joining us to talk about the music that's featuring in this year's festival.
First of all, though, appearing on Saturday at All Saints Church, this is Acca Trio.
Radio Reverb.
Mellow sounds there from the Acca Trio. They're performing at the Brighton Festival Saturday at All Saints Church. Really pleased to say that Mark Johnson from Radio Reverb Slipstream joins us now with an overview of some of the events still to come, and maybe just a little peek back at what's happened so far in the Brighton Festival. Mark, welcome to the guest seat at Radio Reverb, a seat you're not accustomed to being
in. I'm honoured. Fantastic, yeah, great to be here.
Acca Trio, All Saints Church on Saturday, that's going to be a great one.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing that. Antonio Forcioni, great guitarist, once described as the acoustic Jimi Hendrix.
Really?
He worked with Sarah Jane Morris as well a lot, so it was fantastic. Sekou Keita, fantastic kora player, and Adriano Adwelli, he's a great Brazilian.
Oh, hence the
AKA.
Okay,
yeah,
right.
Exactly,
gotcha. Yeah. On Saturday night, Rocky Traore opened up the festival with her gig at Brighton Dome.
Yeah.
And we were chatting about that earlier and saying what a fantastic atmosphere it was there.
It really was, yeah. I was quite surprised, actually, because I was a little bit apprehensive about it at first. Because her music is, you know, it's very low-key, and at times it's, you know, walking-paced music. But the actual gig itself was really rocking. And
it was, wasn't it?
You know, she really looked like she was enjoying herself as well. And and the crowd, you know, they didn't really need any encouragement. They were sort of clapping along from track 3 inwards. So it was, you know, it was really, really excellent, excellent gig. I loved it.
In that way, the British audiences do clapping out of time.
Yeah, but sometimes they're so reserved. Some of the audiences have been so reserved, but this was, they were really up for it. And the band, her band, the four musicians, guitar player, bass, and Ngoni player were really excellent.
Now, was that the instrument that was on the left?
Yes.
Ngoni, because we were watching that and we were figuring out.
I couldn't work it out what it was.
Yeah, it's really powerful, yeah. One string and, yes, incredible.
Is it gourd or something? Because it's a strange kind of, like a giant gourd shape.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Right,
yeah,
it's fantastic. And it had a kind of banjo-type sound to it.
Yeah, yeah, it's really tremendous.
I hadn't seen that before.
Yeah,
really good.
Fantastic.
Now, for those people who weren't there last Saturday, there is another chance to see Rocky Horror on stage at the Dome, isn't there?
Yeah, that's right. The gig on Saturday, the 18th of May, is Rocky Etrure and some young musicians from Mali. It's part of the Passarelli Foundation that she has created in Bamako, and it encourages young musicians, dancers, artists into the creative work and studies. And so she's going to be bringing, I think there's six musicians and four singers that make up the choir, and they're going to be playing some traditional Malian music and also some music from that you'll be more familiar with, from like Jacques Brel and Fela Kuti and Bob Marley. So, you know, it's her with these young musicians that she's, you know, encouraging and helping. And
well, that should be another interesting Saturday night at the Dome.
Yeah,
actually,
I think that'll be, you know, something to look forward to. And there is this enormous wealth of great musicians from Mali. It's, you know, I always say this, but if there was a World Cup, Mali would always be in the final. Do you see what I mean? Because there's just so many good musicians from Mali.
Yeah. Well, we are going to be hearing much more from you, Mark, on Radio Reverb on the Brighton Festival programme. We will be getting you back with your insight into some of the performers coming up in the festival.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
So thanks very much for joining us now. Cheers. Thanks, Mark.
Well, the themes of Mali run right through the festival, and one part is an exhibition called Iron Men at the Phoenix Gallery. It's a series of black and white photos of iron workers in Bamako, put together by photo Tala King Masasi, and our reporter Josh Sharples went to see it.
I've just come outside from the exhibition. It's like Phoenix Brighton. It's the Iron Men exhibition. So the first impressions are that it's a white room as you walk in. Photographs are in black and white, so they're very striking as you walk through the door. And all the photographs are of iron workers in Bamako, which is the largest city in Mali. And it's just them at work. And it's very interesting to see that the combination of people at work in ironworks, the artistic way that King Masasa has done that, and then being in black and white, I always like black and white photos. So underneath each photograph is a phrase that King has put on there, and as you look at the photo, you read the phrase, and it can mean different things for different people. It's a new dimension. It adds an extra dimension to what you're seeing and the feel of the whole exhibition. It feels like it's a very personal introspection on working life in a big city. And I feel that he does capture that in each photo. So this exhibition's at the Phoenix Brighton, which is Waterloo Place. And it's on from now to the 26th of May, Wednesday till Sunday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. So do go and check it out. So I'm now going to go back inside and have a chat with a few people. Hiya, what do you think of the exhibition?
I think it's very, very interesting because, the guy or the photographer, he was working no digital. And it's quite unusual nowadays to see that.
Oh, okay.
So very, very interesting.
Very striking, isn't it?
Yes.
I think it's absolutely beautiful. It's a really lovely layout. It's really clear to see, and it really complements all the different photographs. The thing I like most about it is the fact that a bit of text underneath each image. I think it really complements it, and I think personally I've seen that in a few different places. And
sends a story, makes a story.
Definitely. Yeah. They enhance each other.
Yeah. Hi, I'm from Radio Reverb. What do you think of the exhibition?
I think it's really magical. I'm involved in organising the exhibition, so yesterday we were laying out all the work in the gallery space and how it changes when you walk into the gallery and you see the images, and they're quite abstract and mysterious, and there's lots of, you know, sparks and smoke and light and dark.
It's very striking, isn't it? And the eyes got me, actually. His eyes.
Yeah, there's lots of, very sharp, these very quite abstract forms, you know, and the smoke forms this, like, really strange shapes. And then as you walk towards the images, you start to see these figures coming out and all these other forms. So it's really quite magical. And these are about, you know, these iron workers, these craftsmen who are making these things, you know, out of iron and metal, and so there's the whole sort of alchemy of that process. And then King, the photographer, who provided some written text alongside the work. And they're just really poetic.
Yeah, it's
you know, and they're so they sort of stand alongside the images and they play off of them without being literal about the images. So I find that really quite moving and beautiful.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Reporter Josh Sharples there at Iron Men at the Phoenix Gallery, and that runs Wednesday to Sunday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. until May 26th, and it's free entry.
Have a quick look at what is coming up this week at the Brighton Festival. Ben Okri comes to the Dome on Tuesday evening. That's at 8 o'clock. Okri is coming to Brighton Festival as he launches his latest novel, The Freedom Artist, and shares some of his adventures in writing over 4 decades. That's Ben Okri, Adventures in Writing, at Brighton Festival. Tickets £10.
On Wednesday at the Dome, you can catch an evening of live cinematic music with early Indian films brought to life with a reimagined score. And we'll have more on that. That's called Ghosts, King of Ghosts, in tomorrow's show, Tuesday's show here on Radio Reverb.
And more on Tuesday's show about films. I had a look at this one about the John McEnroe in the Realm of Perfection. I've looked at it and I thought, John McEnroe, tennis, a film. It's a kind of French existentialist film. It actually looks really good. So I'm not interested in tennis, not remotely interested in John McEnroe, but it piqued my interest. We will be finding out more about this on Tuesday. It's on at Duke's at Commedia on Wednesday, the 8th of May at 6 o'clock.
From Wednesday to Saturday the 11th, you can catch Knee High performing Dead Dog in a Suitcase and Other Love Songs at the Theatre Royal. Now, this musical satire is based on John Gay's The Beggar's Opera, and the show is for those over the age of 14, as there's strong language and sexual references. So note that.
But sounds like my kind of thing.
Yeah, well, you're definitely over 14, Melita, so you're allowed to go. Tickets start at £10 for that at the Theatre Royal.
And then looking ahead to Friday, an opportunity for some poetry. Jacob Sam LaRose presents Unseen Mentor. The influential writer is offering a trio of his poet mentees at the basement from 7:30. Tickets £12. And as ever, for all of these, the Brighton Festival box office, check out the programme, which is scattered around town, and the website is brightonfestival.org. and we hope to be bringing you all of those events. Actually, Ben Okri we're not going to be talking to, but we're talking about King of Ghosts, the films at Commedia, Dead Dog in a Suitcase, and hopefully we'll be getting Jacob Sam LaRose to come and talk about
Unseen
Mentor.
There is so much. We cannot speak to everybody, because I mean, every day there's so many different events happening with so many different people involved, so We're doing our best.
We do try. The Nature of Why is an orchestral event where the audience join the performers on stage. It's scored by Goldfrapp's Will Gregory, and members of the British Parrot Orchestra will mingle with dancers and the audience at the Dome tonight. I spoke by phone with the British Parrot Orchestra's Associate Music Director, Lloyd Coleman, to find out what to expect.
My name's Lloyd Coleman, and I'm the Associate Music Director of the Parrot Orchestra and Friends, and I play clarinet in The Nature of Why.
The Nature of Why sounds like a wildly ambitious project. Talk me through what's happening on stage.
Yeah, The Nature of Why, we're really, really proud of this show. It's one of our kind of flagship shows, if you like, at the Parrot Orchestra. It involves 20 or so musicians drawn from the British Parrot Orchestra, which is the world's only large-scale group of professional disabled musicians. We have 20 musicians from the Parrot Orchestra and its sister orchestra, the Army of Generals, 4 dancers, and perhaps most importantly, around 180 audience members on stage with us. So if you imagine the Brighton Dome, we don't ask the audience to sit out in the auditorium. Instead, we invite them onto the stage with us to share a kind of immersive, theatrical, musical and dance experience with us, with music by the wonderful Will Gregory of Goldfrapp fame, and choreography by Caroline Bowditch, an amazing Australian choreographer that we worked with last year.
It sounds like there might be some logistical headaches in there, not least the, you know, the good old health and safety.
Yeah, health and safety. It's just a really kind of democratic and open-hearted show. It's really a chance for people, if they've never experienced live music making close-up, it's a fantastic opportunity for people to get really close to a group of absolutely brilliant musicians. So if you've ever wanted to kind of get up really close and personal with a double bass player, for instance, and to see, you know, the vibrations of the strings of the double bass really close up, or if you've ever wanted to stand behind a marimba, or perhaps even crouch underneath a marimba, or go right up to a soprano singing at full pelt, you know, all of those things are really kind of amazing things to experience close up. And because of the way the show is formatted with this kind of immersive audience experience in 360 degrees, it's happening all around you, it gives you the kind of the agency and the permission to do that and to wander about the space as much or as little as you want.
About the process of creating it. I mean, how did all these elements come together? So you've got the composition, you've got the performance, you've got the choreography, and then you've got the audience wandering around in the middle of it.
I think it's a slightly overused word, but it came together very organically, really. We first met with Will Gregory as he was starting work on this piece. Goodness, it must have been about 18 months ago now. And he had seen a video online of a wonderful theoretical physicist called Richard Feynman. And he was this kind of amazingly erudite and slightly eccentric Nobel Physics Prize winning physicist who had this really wonderful way with words and really sort of brilliantly entertaining way of explaining these very kind of complex problems of quantum physics and lots of other things that I really couldn't pretend to understand. But Will saw this video of Richard Feynman back in the 80s doing an interview with a slightly wet behind the ears BBC interviewer, actually, who asked him, what is that thing you feel when you hold two ends of a magnet together? And in response to that kind of simple question, Richard Feynman gave this really amazing off-the-cuff answer that I think lasted about 15, 20 minutes. I don't think the interviewer was expecting it. And in it, he really explained the idea that, you know, he could try to explain what the force is between the two ends of a magnet. But as soon as he'd answered one question, that then throws up a whole load of other questions that need to be answered. And so that's where the title of the show comes from, The Nature of Why. It's like peeling back the layers of an onion to be able to understand or even begin to understand those really complicated ideas of physics. And so Will found this video, and it just really gave him the starting point, really, for the composition. And so throughout the show, you hear the snippets, the sort of clips from that interview that Richard Feynman gave. And it gives this lovely kind of narrative thread to the show. And so the music and the dance are really kind of creative responses to this kind of questioning from Richard Feynman. And so you have complete permission to kind of wander around the space. And on a Monday, I'm really looking forward to seeing how the good people of Brighton kind of take this opportunity to really explore, you know, every part of the space and to kind of enjoy every musician and every dancer that is taking part in the show.
Many people will have seen the Parrot Orchestra in Brighton at the recent Kraftwerk night, which blew people's minds away. I mean, this is a world-class orchestra. There's no half measures here.
No half measures, no. Since the day it's been set up, it's always been about world-class music making. So, you know, for instance, The Nature of Why, we want people to come to the show not because they think it's a worthy thing to do and because, oh, we should go and support some disabled musicians, you know, making some music together. Oh, isn't that lovely? It's not about the kind of the feel-good charity factor. It's only about world-class music making that happens to involve musicians who have a disability of one kind or another. And certainly, you know, speaking personally, that's the only reason I got involved in the group, because when Charles Hazlewood, the artistic director and founder of the Power Orchestra, first did the call out for musicians way back in 2012, I knew and knew of and respected Charles's work as a conductor and musician enormously. And I thought, yeah, here's a guy who's really serious about, you know, giving them a sort of a professional stage on which to perform. And I would never have been interested in the Power Orchestra if I even remotely thought it was about a charity thing for musicians who have a disability. So world-class music making. And as you say, when we last came to Brighton, we did this Kraftwerk show at the Dome, and that went down really, really well. And we're just really excited to come back and give the people of Brighton some more.
That's the British Parrot Orchestra's Associate Music Director, Lloyd Coleman, talking about the nature of why tonight, Monday, if you're listening to the live show, taking place at the Dome. And you're a little weeshy bit too late unless you're a really fast runner to get to the 6 p.m. performance, but there may be some tickets available for 8:30, so be quick.
Now, you've been listening to the Brighton Festival special show with her, Melita Dennett, and me, Rebecca Sandals, here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM DAB and online Monday to Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. during the festival, repeated 10 p.m. and 9 a.m. the next day.
Thank you to today's guests, Pippa Smith, Rokia Traore, Jamie Harrison, Lloyd Coleman, reporters Josh Sharples and Mark Johnson. I've been Melita Dennett. Thanks for listening.
And I'm Rebecca Sandals, and we'll both be back at the same time tomorrow.
So Chilly Gonzalez is playing at the Brighton Festival Monday the 13th of May. He's doing piano things at the moment, but let us rewind the clock. Actually, one of my favourite albums, back to 2000, Gonzalez, Uber Alice, and Let's Groove Again. From Melita and Rebecca, see you tomorrow. Bye.